But they're asking a whole lot more questions. We're asking a whole lot more questions. You know, how do we have our youth ministry not just be an hour a week, but 168 hours a week? I've tried things that have failed, and that's okay. You know, I would say, you know, success, unsuccessful isn't doing something and failing. Unsuccessful is not even trying to do something new in the first place. The best research shows that the number one influence on a kid's life is parents. So as much as I love empathy, I think, especially when it comes to mental health, but maybe even across the board, I want us to think as we're empathizing with young people, how do we simultaneously empower them, give them a sense of agency to take a step forward?
Hey, and welcome to the Revive Youth Leader Podcast. The Revive Youth Leader Podcast is all about you as a student leader or youth pastor. I know that your job is challenging and that you want to find the best possible ways to lead your students to a connected life with Christ. I am honored that you would bring us on this journey with you. We believe that your job is one of the most important jobs in the world, yet you are often underrecognized and underappreciated. We want to use this podcast as a way to connect you with the tools that will help you to succeed in this ever-changing world and culture that is your ministry, helping you make the biggest impact possible on the young people that you work with. Today, we have an exciting and special guest. Cara Powell from the Fuller Youth Institute is going to be joining us for an interview. And it is going to be an amazing power-packed time. You're going to want to catch every minute of this episode. I hope that you enjoy as you listen, learn, and grow. I would be honored if you would leave us a 5-star review on iTunes to help us get found by other youth pastors and youth leaders. So thank you for doing that. We want to make these the best possible episodes they can be. So if you have any advice or comments, please send them our way. You can email me directly at pastorhodgins@gmail.com. Today we have a special guest, Cara Powell from the Fuller Youth Institute, with us today. And if you don't know who she is, you might want to Google her, because you're probably going to want to read some of the studies and books that the Fuller Youth Institute has done. But why don't we just start off by doing this? Cara, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. So I'm a faculty member at Fuller Seminary, but really my main job is I direct the Fuller Youth Institute, which is a research center that turns research into resources to answer leaders and parents' toughest questions about young people. And I get to experience those tough questions every day myself, because I'm a parent of 3 teenagers who are 19, 17, and 14.
So you're living a life of challenge, in other words.
A life of challenge and a great lab. Like, what I study at Fuller certainly is relevant to my life at home, and the questions that come up for me as a parent and a volunteer at my church are part of what guide the research that we do at Fuller.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It's good to be able to practice what you're living and live what you're practicing.
Totally. Although, you know, my teenagers are funny. Every once in a while, they'll say, "Mom, you can't put this in a blog post." And so, and I always ask their permission before I share any stories about them and all that. So I think my teenagers are on to me a little bit. So,
yeah, I'm starting to experience that. Our oldest is almost 11, and I was speaking at our young adult church, and I said something about her without asking her permission, yeah. And she actually got up and ran out, and I was like, uh-oh. So, yeah, that's interesting.
That's a not too subtle sign there for you, Ryan, that you need to think about. We all need to think about when it comes to our kids, huh?
Yeah, so the first tip of the day for youth leaders is be careful what you say about your kids in front of your groups, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Wise words indeed.
Yeah, so why don't you share with us how you became interested in helping equip youth and young adult leaders and also young people?
Yeah. Well, you know, I would say God made his calling on my life to work with young people clear in late high school and college. I ran for student body president of my high school and lost. And at that point, my youth pastor said, "I think God's maybe calling you to youth ministry." And I was a senior in high school. I started volunteering more and more at the church, and Then in college, I was a volunteer with Young Life, and through a series of conversations and a few even supernatural events, God made it clear that he was calling me to work with young people. So I did that as a youth pastor, college pastor at a couple churches for some long stints. In fact, the second church is still my church, and my kids are now in the youth ministry, which is exciting. And then Fuller was getting ready to start this research center that was going to make sure that the questions that leaders and parents were wrestling with guided Fuller's research, and then was going to make sure that once we did the research that we would translate PhD level concepts into really accessible tools. And I've always loved research. I've always loved young people. So the idea of having a foot in both worlds was exactly where I wanted to stand. And so, Ryan, I've been in this job now for over 15 years and love it, love our team, and I'm excited about what I get to see God do.
That's awesome. I've been a big fan of Sticky Faith and also the Growing Young stuff for quite a while now. I mean, not quite a while with either because they're not that old, but, you know, they're super awesome resources. And I'm actually going to make it available in the show notes, a link as to where they can go to find out more about the books and the different resources that you guys offer. Some of the stuff that you are working on right now? Like, what is the newest curriculum you guys have released?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you asked, Ryan. We just in January released some Faith in an Anxious World resources. That's the title of them, dealing with young people's mental health questions and journeys and challenges. So curriculum for youth ministry, my own church has been using it. And then also podcasts for parents. So ideally, parents and the family and the church are having the same discussions and able to reinforce each other. And, you know, I don't know what you're seeing with mental health, Ryan, but I feel like I don't go a day when I don't get asked about, read about, hear about young people and anxiety, stress, depression, even suicide. Even just last night, quite honestly, in the midst of our pandemic, as I was tucking in my 19-year-old, Dave and I, we still tuck in our teenagers, even though they stay up later than we do, but we have this ritual of tucking them in. And, you know, he's a college freshman, and he had to come home 2 months early because of COVID, and he seemed to be doing pretty well. But I just looked him in the eye and said, you know, Nathan, how are you really doing? How is your heart? How is your soul? Because I just want to keep those lines of communication open. And that's what we tried to do with these resources, is make it discussable, both at church and in the home.
And that's awesome. And I mean, you know, sometimes you see these moments where God is just really working. And it sounds to me like the release of this Faith in an Anxious World is something like that. Like, you released it in January, you've been working on it for however long, and then all of a sudden this mess happens.
Yeah.
And it's funny how he does that. Have you seen or heard anything from some of the people using the curriculum about how timely it is?
Oh, totally. I mean, we're honestly getting asked more questions about that than anything else. I'm having more podcast conversations, doing more webinars for parents as well as for leaders. And, you know, mental health hotlines in our country, my understanding is they're seeing about a 40% increase in emails and phone calls from people who are dealing with mental health challenges during quarantine, recovering from the pandemic, et cetera. And so, you know, several months ago, I would have said there's never been a better time or a more needed time to talk about mental health. And now I feel like that's in bold capital letters. It's so very true. So, you know, every high school, every middle school, every college that I've visited, they are talking about mental health, and all too often, we're staying silent about it in families and churches. And so that's what we're trying to reverse and get young people the help that they need.
Yeah. Over time in my ministry, you know, I've found both with myself and with other people that, you know, you always want to avoid the scary topics, or we try to, you know, we may not address them because we're afraid to address them. And the sad reality is that's completely the opposite of what you should do. And in today's world with social media and everybody's perfect life on social media and stuff, like, Yeah, I hear about it constantly from my students and from other people that I'm connected with. And I hear it from students, and I also hear it from youth leaders and youth pastors that they're struggling with it. Yeah. So this is a real issue. And I think it's awesome that you guys released this curriculum. I have purchased this curriculum, and I've been looking over it, and I want to use it because it looks so good and so powerful for our time. Can you expand on the curriculum a little bit for us?
Yeah. Well, it carries a number of themes that emerged from all the research we did, the conversations we had with amazing therapists, amazing biblical scholars, theologians who've looked at stress and even how Jesus used time in the New Testament. So, kind of like you were saying, for us as adults, it's been quite transformative for me. And one of the big themes in the curriculum, in fact, we hit on it in every lesson, is how important it is for a young person to feel like they have one or more adults that they can talk to about their mental health challenges, that they have that safe place that they can go to. And it, you know, not only that a 15 or 17 or 13-year-old has an adult they can talk to about what they're going through, but what they see their friends going through. I think our teenagers often see depression and stress and anxiety in other teenagers before we adults see it. There's so many amazing parents and youth leaders who just aren't seeing what kids are seeing. And especially for youth leaders, now that for this quarantine season, you know, it's even harder to see because we're not in the same room with young people, their mental health challenges.
Yeah.
But kids are staying in touch with kids. And, you know, even my teenagers, it's fascinating how much they know about their peers, their friends' mental health. And so, you know, we want every young person to have an adult they can talk to about themselves or about their friends, that safe place so that kids can have the safety net that they need.
I think that's super key. You know, one of the things that I've noticed in ministry is the people that I've had the biggest impact on is the young people that I've had a good relationship with. And I also see that from other youth leaders and other small group leaders and stuff like that. And I've had a lot of times people come to me and say, hey, Pastor Ryan, you know, so-and-so is struggling with this. You may want to check it out. Or, you know, they've been talking about suicide. You know, what can I do or what can you do to help? So that's super important. And I think it's just, what a better time, right? We need to talk about this. We need to be talking about it. In that conversation, or you can expand on it more, but what are some of the things that you're seeing right now as kind of the new reality for youth and young adult ministry?
Yeah. Well, certainly we're seeing a lot of questions about mental health. Absolutely. And, you know, in this pandemic, I'm actually pleased with how youth leaders are asking bigger questions about ministry. Not so much the why we do what we do, but the how we do what we do. And, you know, it's so unfortunate that so much of what we love about youth ministry and ways we've previously connected with students, whether it be, you know, worship together, small group in the same room, going to camp or a short-term missions trip, you know, it's so unfortunate that so many of those things are canceled or postponed in this pandemic. And I think disruption often unleashes a new wave of creativity. So, you know, one of my big hopes and prayers is that youth leaders will view this pandemic not just as a time to take what they used to do before, person to person, and, you know, turn a switch and put it on Zoom, but they're asking a whole lot more questions. We're asking a whole lot more questions. You know, how do we have our youth ministry not just be an hour a week, but 168 hours a week, you know, every hour of the week? How are we connecting with students, empowering them to use their gifts, enabling them to become better disciples and make disciples of others in between our gatherings? And that's actually some of the most exciting progress I see youth ministries making is doing experiments. And some of these experiments are failing. I'll tell you, as a leader myself, during the pandemic, I've tried things that have failed. And that's okay. You know, I would say, you know, success... unsuccessful isn't doing something and failing. Unsuccessful is not even trying to do something new in the first place. And so I think young people are more open to experiments these days. Parents are more open to experiments these days. And so I love it when I see my brothers and sisters in Christ experimenting, both with that, you know, 1 hour online, but maybe even more so with the other 167 hours where students have more time. I mean, Ryan, that's the other thing. How many times have we in youth ministry wished that our students would have more time and be less busy? And, you know, in this pandemic, I don't know a teenager who is as busy as they were before the pandemic. They all seem to have more free time. So that just gives us more more windows and ways to do experiments.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to see how, you know, the realities come. And this is something that I've thought about a lot. You know, we're doing our Zoom church or our Zoom group or whatever, but then you're going through the week and you're going, how else can I connect with these kids? How can I utilize this time so that it's more effective? Because it's, I think, just like you're saying, this pandemic has made it very clear that there is 168 hours in a week, and that 1 hour at church or that 1 hour at youth group doesn't cut it. I mean, it's good, but there's more to do and there's more time to utilize. What are some of the maybe mistakes that you're seeing youth pastors or youth leaders make nowadays?
Yeah, I would say whether it's in the pandemic or not, if I could wave a wand and change something about youth ministry, one of the things that I would change is help youth leaders gain a bigger vision and commitment and skills in truly partnering with parents. You know, the best research shows, as influential as you are as a youth leader, Ryan, as influential as every listener is as a youth leader, the best research shows that the number one influence on a kid's life is parents. Good, bad, and ugly. We are the number one influence in a kid's life. And so that's actually one of the positive gains I'm hoping emerges from the pandemic, is that parents have had, I know a lot of parents who are having better conversations at home about faith, who are experimenting with family church, family devotions, watching 15 minutes online with their kids. I mean, even in our family, we do church together on Sundays, and we're experimenting a lot. Like sometimes we watch part of our church's worship service together. I've been pulling up videos from YouTube. I've been playing my kids like old Numa videos with Rob Bell and Skit Guy videos, and using those as conversation starters. And so, you know, I'm hoping that youth leaders are understanding how important it is to help parents have those better conversations, whether it's structured over a family devotion or, you know, when we're in the minivan with our kids. And that can really help kids be better discipled. So I think one of the biggest mistakes we make in youth ministry is ignoring the impact of parents, or really viewing parents as kind of our ministry chauffeurs and checkbooks instead of partners in their kids' discipleship.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I thought it was funny you said something about the Rob Bell Numa videos. I actually just cleaned a bunch of those off one of my shelves the other
day. Nice. Well, I think most of them, if not all of them, are on YouTube now. So even if you don't have those DVDs or, you know, heaven forbid, VHS tapes, some of you listening don't even know what a VHS tape is, but you can still get them all from online. So,
yeah, no, those were great conversation starters back in the day. And but that's the real thing. Is the reality is we just got to we need to start more practical conversations, both with our students and with their parents. And I think that's pretty bang on, because like the reality is the two people that spend the most time with our young people is the parents and their teachers. Yep. So, you know, utilize the parent relationship as best as you can if you can't get to their teachers, right?
For sure. Well said, Ryan.
What are maybe a few quick ministry tips that you could give to a youth pastor or a young adult pastor to communicate better with their students?
You know, I would say that one of the big lessons God's been teaching me these last few years, and it's a theme in every research project we're doing these days, is the importance of empathy. I've become convicted that all good innovation starts with empathy, all good ministry starts with empathy, all good relationships start with empathy. And how do I really listen to, walk in the shoes of the person I'm trying to love and understand? And so, you know, I'm constantly urging youth leaders to really listen to the losses and longings. That's what my colleague Scott Cormode calls it, the losses and longings of young people, and letting those losses and longings be in the steering wheel of their ministry responses. And so, you know, again, whether it's the pandemic or not, how do we listen to the people that we're trying to serve? I talked to one major leader. I don't feel like I can release this individual's name, but one leader of a large Christian organization who is now spending about 8 hours a week interviewing and doing focus groups with the people that they serve. Because they're that committed to really empathizing. So I would say best way to communicate with young people is to start with empathy and really understand what keeps them awake at night. What are their greatest joys? What are their greatest fears? And let that guide how you build a relationship with them and how and what you communicate with them about.
Yeah. I kind of want to go from there. Let's go back to the anxiety and the stressful situations that the young people are going through. How do you think that empathy plays into that and using that as a tool?
Great question. We actually have an ABCDE of responding to young people. And I know that can feel a little forced when, you know, you have five steps and they're ABCDE. But actually, as I was looking over all the conversations we did with mental health experts, and I was trying to summarize it for myself, I thought, oh my goodness, this spells out A, B, C, D, E. And that E is empathy. That is so important. But the way that we like to define it when it comes to mental health is empathy that empowers. I think a lot of times we assume empathy is, oh, that's so tough. And yet we leave the person in the same position and posture they were before we tried to empathize with them. And Lisa Damore, who's a researcher who studied mental health in adolescent girls, but what she says is equally true for boys, she has this great phrase that is such a good phrase for youth leaders, parents, really anybody who's building a relationship with a young person. And it's this, it's a two-part phrase. The first part is that stinks, or that's hard, or oh, that's disappointing. And that's the empathy part. But the second part is the empowering part. Something like, and I think you can handle it. So, you know, as we're thinking about a young person struggling with whatever it might be, how do we come up alongside them and say, oh my goodness, I would be struggling too. You're right, that sounds hard. But I think you can maybe figure out a next step to take. Or, but what do you think are some next steps to take? Or how can I journey with you and help you figure out your plan forward? So as much as I love empathy, I think, especially when it comes to mental health, but maybe even across the board, I want us to think as we're empathizing with young people, how do we simultaneously empower them, give them a sense of agency to take a step forward?
Yeah, I you know, that is just, it, in my opinion, that's bang on, because you sit there and listen to somebody and feel for them, you know, right from your heart.
Yeah.
But if you're not equipping them to move forward, what does it really mean? You know, I mean, yeah, it's good that you have a listening ear and stuff, but in every case, and they may not want directions, but I think the empowerment is good, because a lot of times it's not you telling me how to get somewhere that gets me there. It's you telling me that I can get there.
Exactly. And
yeah, I think that's super important. I really like how you said that. I think that's a great phrase. I'm going to have to put that in the show notes so that people can see it, because that's just powerful.
Yeah. Interesting, Ryan, is as I've shared that phrase, like I'm hearing from parents and youth leaders who they're using it in lots of different contexts, you know, not just mental health, but across the board. And I think there's a lot of wisdom there. I think that phrasing has a lot of utility.
Yeah, that's awesome. If you don't mind me asking, what are the other A, B, C, D?
Sure. The first one is ASK. A stands for ask. And we recommend that leaders, volunteers, parents, step-parents, that they ask this great question that we learned from a therapist who specializes in adolescent anxiety. It's this, ask them on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being a lot, how anxious and stressed are you feeling right now? 1 to 3 is, you know, no big deal. 4 or 5 is handleable. It's at 6 or above that you want to start thinking, what other resources does this individual need? What other adults might I want to bring into the loop? Is there a therapist that would be helpful? So you start with A by asking. B is actually breathing. all my life I've heard the importance of deep breathing, and I never understood why until doing this research in the last year that, you know, when we feel anxious, our body experiences the surge of adrenaline. It's our flight or fight reflex. And our heart starts pumping faster to get blood to all of our extremities. It's like It's like God's gas pedal for us. But God's also given us a brake pedal. And that is, as we breathe, as we let our lungs fill with air, that cues our heart that it can slow down. And that literally changes our physiological response. And so one of the things we recommend is that adults help young people breathe when they're feeling anxious. The C is to center on a helpful truth or phrase. What is it from scripture? What is it from a worship song? What phrase can be that anchor, that rock that you stand on when you feel like the waves are crashing? So, you know, with our kids, we've used the phrase Emmanuel, God is with us, as that anchor for just tough circumstances in general. In fact, yesterday, one of my kids took an AP test. And, you know, I texted them before the test, hey, you know, God is with you, Emmanuel. So, whatever it might be, another one of our kids, there's particular worship songs that are very comforting to them when they're feeling anxious. And so, you know, what is it that centering truth or phrase, that's C. And then D is developing a team. We're not meant to go through life as a solo sport. It's a team sport. And so helping young people as they think, you know, as they anticipate when they're going to be anxious next, if they always get anxious at soccer practice or at youth group or at camp or whatever it might be, how do we help them develop that team they need? Friends they can talk to, an adult they can talk to if we're not available. And then also, again, that therapist. I think there are many times, just like the brain's an organ, like the heart's an organ, the liver's an organ. And there are some times where we need specialists to help us with this organ that is our brain through either behavioral interventions or prescription medicine. And so that kind of a mental health professional can be an important part of a young person's team.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's some powerful stuff in there. In that A, B, C, D, E, which material or resource at Fuller has that stuff in it?
Yep. Well, if it's written up at fulleryouthinstitute.org/anxiousworld. So we explain it there, and then we walk through elements of that in our curriculum for youth ministry. So
awesome. I think that'd be really good. I know I'm on some youth forums or youth pastor forums on Facebook and stuff. And one of the questions, like I ask them, like, what do you guys want to hear about on the podcast and whatever? And one of the big things was this topic of, you know, stressors and things like that in youth ministry. So, you know, it's very prevalent, and I think that stuff is gold. That's just, it's absolutely brilliant. So maybe I want to ask you this, just a couple more questions, but one is, what does success in student ministry look like to you?
Wow. That's a great question. So I think first I'll give a rhetoric answer. I've been long captivated by the phrasing of change by Christ to change our world. One of the first thoughts that comes to my mind, Ryan, when you ask that question, is seeing young people changed by Christ and changing the world around them. So, you know, faith is something that is personal and changes us, but it's also outward looking and changes our relationships and how we interact with our friends, family, neighbors, strangers, etc. So that's kind of the rhetoric answer. I think if I was... if I was to do something that was more, shall we say, measurable, one of the things that we've urged ministries to think about out of our Sticky Faith research is to keep in mind not just where we want 12th graders to be when they graduate from our ministries, but let's imagine 4 years later and where we want our alum to be in terms of their relationship with God, their relationship with others, and their relationship with our world. And to have some clear ideas there, a picture there that is that end zone that you're driving toward. And so it's great to have a picture of that when they're 18, but let's imagine 4 months later, 4 years later, what do we hope our alum are like? And let's also be driving toward that end goal.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, a lot of times we have these, I guess you could say, unrealistic goals about our student ministries. But the reality is equipping them, I think, you know, making disciples that make disciples, or you know, that kind of that's real ministry success. Whether you're in the student ministry field or you're the senior pastor of a mega church, if you're making people, if you're helping lead people to be people that lead people to Christ, that's success. What are some of the things that you guys see, if you can tell me, some of the things you see coming down the road for Fuller?
Yeah, be happy to talk about that. And I don't think I've mentioned it yet in the podcast, so I'm glad you asked. So one of our big dreams is we're starting some exciting conversations about what could be a collaborative discipleship venture. So, you know, I love how you talked about making disciples who make disciples. And, you know, when we look at the trajectory of the church and trajectory of our young people, we can't keep doing what we've always been doing. And we need to think differently. And I think any organization, any denomination, any church working on its own can see, you know, let's just say hypothetically, a 10% change in what's happening with young people. If we want to see a 10x change, we have to think bigger and we have to think deeper. And I think both bigger and deeper nudge me toward thinking collaboratively. So we at the Fuller Youth Institute have started having conversations with some pretty amazing partners, like Orange, like the Urban Youth Workers Institute, like the National Federation for Catholic Youth Ministry, just to name some organizations, as well as a lot of denominations, a lot of evangelism-focused national parachurch ministries, just starting to ask, you know, what can we all stack hands on? What messaging and resources and training and prayer and awareness would we want to point to more broadly and in a way that captivates the imagination of senior pastors, parents, youth pastors alike? So, we at FYI, we're an R&D organization. You know, publicly, we're talking a lot about Faith in an Anxious World. Those are the most recent resources we've developed. But kind of, you know, Skunk Works in the basement, we're dreaming about this, a broad set of partnerships that, you know, prayerfully could really move the needle for young people. So that's some of what we're dreaming about.
Yeah, that's awesome. When we started talking about this, the youth rally that we are doing, we've been doing it, this is our third year now. One of the dreams that kind of came up, actually as a literal dream, but I had a dream of setting up and we were in this massive stadium and I was like, what does this mean? I wrestled with it and we wanted to make it bigger. And when I was talking to a marketing company this year before we were stepping forward with this year's, because we really try to grow it this year, was they said, one of the big things that you have to do is you've got to collaborate. You can't try to keep it in your own. And I took that, I was thinking about it a lot because, you know, traditionally my denomination is very internal. Yeah. You know, a lot of Seventh-day Adventists are very, you know, we can't work with other people. And the reality is that I think we have to work with other people. We can't just keep things internally.
Yeah.
Because how do you learn? How do you grow if you're just dealing with the same things that you've always had? And so I think to be successful in youth, our youth rally, but also as youth pastors as a whole, let's look to our area, look to the youth pastors around us, look to the other resources. You know, if you need to go to the Orange Conference, go to look on Fuller Youth Institute's website, find the other things you can find so that your knowledge base can grow, but also find the other people you can collaborate with. And I think that's some awesome insight that you guys are looking towards, because I think it really helps us expand our possible reach.
Yeah.
Now here's a question I like to ask all of my guests, because It's a personal one for me, but it's also for other people. What are you reading right now that you would recommend to other leaders?
Sure. Well, I'll just tell you what I'm exactly reading right now, and I definitely would recommend it. It's called How Google Works, and it's by Eric Schmidt and Jonathan Rosenberg, who are Google chair and former CEO and former senior vice president of products, who explain the culture that's helped Google be as innovative as it was and is. And so, like, even just a couple of days ago, I was reading their chapter on hiring, and they talk about that, you know, hiring decisions are, there's no more important decisions that a leader makes than hiring decisions, because the people that are close to you, they create a culture, they create the goals, et cetera. So, you know, just, it got me thinking at FYI and for youth pastors, the volunteers that we recruit, you know, those are like the most important decisions that we make. And so, I find myself underlining and highlighting a lot in that book, How Google Works.
I love it when my books are all yellow and circles.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. That's my reading style. My husband's the opposite. He, books are his friends, he feels like, so he can't mark on them. So you can always tell which of us have read a book, because if it's all marked up, that means I read it. And if it's not touched at all, that means he read it. So yeah.
Yeah, that's great. What maybe another one more book that you would recommend to someone listening to this podcast that they would benefit from?
Yeah. A book that I just read in the last few days and had a great discussion with some fellow leaders about is called When Narcissism Comes to Church. And it's a fascinating look at how our shame so often gives us narcissistic tendencies, and maybe even how ministry has some inherent tendencies toward narcissism, because you know, we speak for God, and so that's a slippery slope to get to, you know, kind of grandiose visions of ourselves. So it's just been really helpful for me to think about any narcissistic tendencies I see in myself as well as others that I work closely with. So that was a fascinating read. So those are the two books I've been working my way through this week.
Awesome. That's great. Well, thanks so much, Kara, for being on the podcast today. Thanks for your time. This has been an awesome conversation, and I know that I've benefited from it, and I'm sure that many of our listeners will. But I want to recommend to everyone that's listening to go and check out the Fuller Youth Institute's website. There are so many good resources and books on there. There is a link in the show description, in the notes. You're going to want to go there and get some of this stuff, because it's all pertinent information that will help you succeed in youth ministry and with your groups and with your students. So go ahead and do that. Thanks so much, Kara, for joining us for this podcast and for sharing your time with us so that we can do more and be more impactful in our ministries, in youth work and student work. Just thanks again. And I just hope that this episode impacts everyone that's listening and brings them some gold that they can take and use from here.
Well, my pleasure. It's an honor to be with you and your listeners, Ryan.
Awesome. Thanks. Hey, I look forward to picking up this conversation back again with you soon, as we have some awesome interviews scheduled that will be released in the near future. I hope this week you experience transformation, growth, and discipleship in your youth ministry. Remember, build relationships, bring success. Be revived, bring revival. I would be honored if you would leave me a 5-star review on iTunes and share this podcast with another youth leader. Also, I would love it if you would check out our youth rally. So if you have any suggestions for me about possible interviews or a youth pastor that you think would be great for me to interview, send me an email and contact me so that I can contact them and find out more. My email address is in the show notes, pastorhodgins@gmail.com.